Hello, everybody. This is WWPR 1490 AM serving the Tampa Bay area. I want to welcome you all to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. And I want to welcome you all again to another Friday night edition of the show. And the number to call is 941-745-1490. That's 941-745-1490. You want to get on the air, email address is info@therawspiel.com. That is info@therawspiel.com. You want to bring on here Pastor Bolden, the pastor of God's Truth and Deliverance Ministry out of Marfa, Tennessee. How's everything going there?
Everything's going pretty good. How are you doing there?
Oh, doing all right. Just glad to see you another day. Yeah. And we're going to get right to it. I received a email from a lady this past Sunday. And those that's watching on YouTube, you can read along. And those listening, I'll read it off to you. Let me just get to the heart of it. Okay, so I am just coming into the true understanding of prayer and how vital it is. So I've been joining prayer lines here lately, and I hear a ton of people stating, decreeing, and declaring in prayer. I am confused because I don't want to be missing something when I pray. I often struggle with prayer, as stated, learning the importance of it, but am I missing something? I fear praying openly because I don't have many words, or I don't sound like the other prayer warriors. So I often clam up. Is there a certain way to pray openly? I know the Bible teaches us not to be like the Pharisees, praying to be seen and not heard. For many words, which makes praying in private easy. But this decreeing and declaring movement is driving me insane. What is it, and is it a must to be used in praying openly? And I just want to state this one here. I mean, she said, I fear praying openly because I don't have many words or don't sound like other prayer warriors. So I often clam up. Now, I'm going to speak on that for a little bit, I'll speak on that briefly and then turn it over to Pastor Bolden to take it over there. Now, it's, he says she feared, sister says she fears to pray openly because she don't sound like the prayer warriors and have as many words as the rest of them. Now, the thing I say to you about that is I really feel, and here we go with scripture here, but like in my opinion, I really feel if you just pray to God from your heart, I believe God will honor that. So you ain't got to worry about having all these big fancy words like others may have. And that kind of remind me, I remember the church I was attending, they was having a revival. And since I tell you, sometimes I think people just do stuff to be funny, but maybe they wasn't. But before the revival started, they had like maybe they had assigned a couple of us to pray before the revival. So I had like maybe three or four people that prayed before me. And I tell you, they could really pray. They're very powerful, man. And I tell you, they was praying and people were saying, people was getting happy saying, amen, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, they was really lighting it up. And they gave me the mic. And after hearing all that, I didn't want to go behind that because I knew I wouldn't go sound as good as they were. But they gave me the mic, and I I prayed in a tone of voice. Y'all hear me speaking right now? And then this same tone of voice. I didn't have no many fancy words or anything like that. But I tell you, that church got quiet. I ain't hear. I might have got one amen out of. I said, well, I think I need the amens more than anybody else now. But yeah, I just, you know, that, like I said, I know she said them prayer warriors. So I would encourage her, you know, don't stress trying to sound like everybody else. And then, and another thing I can mention, I pray to God, ask God something. I know, like right before I went to bed or whatever, you know, I was about a move I'm going to be making soon. I didn't use no fancy words. I wasn't ran or tearing. I ain't had one hand behind my ear. I wasn't snorting or nothing. I just, you know, just pray to God from the heart. Just, and, you know, and that night he showed it to me what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, where I'm supposed to be. And then the point is, you know, I wasn't ran or tearing and using no fancy words. So I really believe that's just for me. I'll encourage you, don't worry about trying to sound like the prayer warriors. I really believe if you just are sincere and pray from your heart, I believe God will honor that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad that this question came up, and I thank the Lord that the sister sent in this question concerning prayer and you know, how we're supposed to pray and things like that, and especially when you're talking about comparing yourself to other people and you know, what other people may sound like versus what we may sound like. And when you think about prayer, prayer is something that is between the person and God. And all prayer is you talking to God, and also God talking back to you as well. You know, sometimes he talks back to us in dreams and things like that, but it's basically communication with God. And so there's not one set standard with prayer, you know, concerning how we're supposed to do it or things like that. And so one scripture I want to read is in the fifth chapter of the book of James. It says, I'm going to start reading that verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so that scripture there, that encourages me, the effectual fervent prayer. And when you're talking about effectual and fervent, you're talking about a sincere prayer that from your heart, we pray to the Lord. You know, from our hearts, we make our requests known to God. And so that is what God is looking for, sincerity. You know, a lot of times, you know, we, especially if we grow up in church, we could pray a certain way and not even be thinking about what we're praying about. We just praying because we, you know, we've heard the deacons. We grew up hearing the deacons pray that way. We grew up hearing, you know, the mothers or the sisters in the church pray a certain way. And not even really thinking about what we're praying. Just know what words to say one right after the other. And so, of course, that's not being sincere. And not saying that they're not sincere, but we have to make sure that what we are praying from is coming from our hearts. And also make sure that we're really not trying to be like anybody else when we pray, because nobody really has the monopoly on prayer. The Lord told us how to pray, you know, and he prayed a simple prayer. It wasn't a long prayer. That's another thing, you know, you don't have to pray for a long time. There may be times where you feel led to pray for quite a while. You know, the idea is to press in when you pray, you know, to make sure that you've gotten all of the distractions out of the way, the devil ain't pulling your mind in all different directions. But I think the main thing we want to make sure of is that we're praying with sincerity. You know, we're not praying with anything in our hearts towards other people. You know, that's another thing that the Lord points out to us in his word, you know, that if we have aught against our brothers, you know, anything in our hearts towards anybody, lay out, give that to the altar and go make it right with them. So in other words, we can't really pray with sincerity when we have things in our hearts towards people, unless we're praying and asking the Lord to remove those things from our hearts,
Amen.
You know, and things like that. And so to me, that just being honest, you know, and being and with the Lord, you know, that's one of the things I try to stress as much as I can. You know, you don't want to pray with things in your heart. You know what kind of issues you may have going on in your life. Just be honest about it with God. Don't try to hide it. Don't, you know, because I'm a witness to it. When you know you're doing things in the background that you know God is not pleased with, it's very hard to come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. You see, so if we're going to go boldly before the throne of grace to find help in the time of need, then we have to make sure that we got a clean slate with God. God, forgive me for the things I've said. Forgive me for entertaining thoughts. You know, we have to really be sincere and honest with the Lord. And so, you know, so it depends on the individual. You know, a lot of times people are so used to not being sincere, can just say things and not mean them. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I'll come by there, you know. But with the Lord, we have to be sincere. That's the main word, I think, to me, in a prayer life, is being sincere, just being honest and open wherever you are, wherever that may be, being and not trying to be like other people, not even patterning your prayer life with nobody else's, you know, just doing how you feel led. There are times I pray in the car. There are times I pray in the shower. There are times I get on my knees to pray. There are times I stand up to pray. Just in whatever particular moment I'm in, if I feel led to pray a certain way, that's how I pray. We know that Elijah prayed with his head between his knees. You know, just it's all kind of ways, you know, that we do that, just however we feel led. And that's the wonderful thing about God. He wants your relationship with him to be exactly that, your relationship with him. I think what we all have to have in common is sincerity in our hearts towards him.
Yeah, that's the main thing, being sincere. And like you said, I think it's real important to have some kind of prayer life. I can tell you now, you give your life to the Lord and whatever, and you know, you're going strong, then all of a sudden you start lacking off in prayer. Now you can find yourself slipping and sliding right back where you started from. Not only that, you're like 10 times worse than what you were. No, when you gave your life over that to him. So it's good to have make time to have some kind of prayer life. And then I'm thinking of growing up, used to see my mother always praying. I might walk by the bedroom. I always seen on the knees. Now keep in mind, I was real young, real little then. And I always see on the knees praying. And sometimes I might grab a Bible and thumb through it. And I see she got all these scriptures highlighted and got notes and stuff in there. And I used to think to myself, what mama praying for? My mama said she got it. What's she doing all this praying and reading the scriptures for? She good. What's she doing all this for? She got it. And then as I got older, I said, well, I see why she said, mama, she got it, but she trying to keep it.
Amen.
Because I tell you, I used to, when I was young, I used to see preachers and things praying for people. I figured they got it together. They don't need no prayer. They praying for everybody. But you know what? We all need it.
Amen.
We all got to, you know, just take time to pray early in the morning. You know, that's why do it every morning. I got before I start my day, I got to give God thanks to it was just for letting me see another day. We got to just give God thanks. So I think it's important to we find time to have some kind of prayer life. I'm telling you, I can tell you, you'll slip and slide right back where you started. And it'd be 10 times worse. I remember I was in, I was in, I was in my dorm room, you know, praying, seeking after God. And I just felt like going stronger and stronger. And guess what happened? Some of these clowns will knock on my door. I was feeling good. I was in there. I felt like pressing on. All they want to do is, I had a computer in my room with a printer. They wanted to use my computer. And man, there was up in that clown that just messed my head up. I almost told him, guys, I said, look, man, y'all, I almost said, look, y'all got to just come back another time. That's what I should have done. But that just shows you you can't have no distraction. And then that's all what that was, a big distraction right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, them guys, they ain't want to just came in there clowning and joking around. I got my mind on something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you, try to set some kind of time to pray on a consistent basis, you know, like Pastor Bowen said, with sincerity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about, you know, just even that story you just brought up about the distractions, you know, and I tell any believer this, if you want to know just how important your prayer life is, just look at what happens when you begin to pray. Just look at all the people that's going to call you that you haven't heard from in a while. Look at, you know, the people that's going to knock on your door. It's going to be some kind of distraction. Even if the devil isn't able to conjure somebody up to distract you, he's going to all of a sudden start bombarding your mind with different things that you may have forgotten about. He's going to start talking to you about what you need to cook, or what, you need to change the oil on the car. You remember, it's been 6 months already, you know, all kinds of things to just take your mind off of what you're doing in the moment. And that right there, it lets me know that the devil don't want me to break through. He don't want me to get through to God and continue this conversation that we're having, you know? And so I tell you, it definitely lets us know how important prayer is. You know, one of my first lessons, I want to just bring this up. One of my first lessons in prayer, it was right after I'd come into the ministry and started ministering and things. And, you know, I had this mindset, Brother Harold, that whatever is mine, I'm going to have it. You know, and I was thinking about that. Like what you said about your mother, you know, there'd be times you saw her praying and you would think, well, she already got it. You know, what she praying for? She already got it, you know. And I remember when I first started living for the Lord, I had this mindset that whatever God had for me, I already got it. It's mine. Ain't no use in praying for it. It's mine. You know, I remember this was in 1995. I had a dream that I was watching a cousin of mine who lives in DeRidder now. He was a preacher. He was praying for a job. I saw him inside of this veil. Like, he was inside of this veiled room. Like, where it was like a veil around him. And he was praying for a job, for this particular job that he had applied for. And in the dream, I understood that he had the job. Now, to me, that was just, you got the job. That was what I was thinking. You got the job. What are you praying for? You already got the job. Now, just naturally, so he didn't have it just yet. But in a dream, I understood that he had. And there was an angel standing alongside of me. And the angel told me, even though he got it, he still got to pray for it. Even though he got it, he still have to pray for it. And he said, basically, the angel was letting me know, and that's the way it is with believers. Regardless of what, even if you know what God's will is about something, you still have to pray for it. At the time, I didn't understand spiritual warfare. But the way I understand it now, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter to the devil that God have granted you something. He's still going to come for it. You know, it doesn't matter what God's will is for you. The devil, and so that is our urgency for prayer. We still got a spiritual ram to get across, if that makes sense. And so that was one of the things I learned. And so that morning, I put it to the test. I prayed for three different things. And I kid you not, back to back, I saw those three things come to pass. Back the same day, within an hour, back to back, I saw those three things. And I believe the Lord granted that to show me that there really is power in prayer, you know, that there really is power in prayer. And I really believe that the prayers is one of the most important parts of a Christian walk with the Lord. Prayer is.
Oh, yes, man. The number 941-745-1490. We want to be a part of the conversation. And there's 941-745-1490. I'll tell you another reminder of a prayer I had. It'd be a couple of weeks. I mean, a dream I had a couple of weeks back. I know this little boy. I know who he is. I know his father. I'm sitting down. I guess he's around maybe 4 years old, somewhere around there. He walked up to me, you know, crawled up on my lap, put his head on my chest, and said, "Pray for me." Now, I didn't know if he was serious or not, but just instantly, I just put my hand on top of his head and began to pray for him. And again, no fancy word, no hocus pocus, smoke screen and mirrors, just, you know, I just began to pray for him. Then I saw his father appear. He looked at him with no compassion, put his hands on his back while I was, you know, praying for him. And I finished, I believe they walked off. And I woke up from that the next morning. I'm like, that kind of startled me a little bit. I didn't know what was going on with me, in trouble or what. I started to contact you about it. I don't know if God was showing me something or see a little, you know, child in my dream. I thought God might be trying to tell me something there. But that next morning, I felt the urge to pray for him, because I didn't know what was going on, why he came to me in that dream to pray for him. So I just sat on that. I kept thinking about it over and over and over. And finally, I contacted his father. I contacted him. I said, "Hey, I said, "How you doing? Hey, your son, how's everything going on with him? Little so-and-so." He was telling me, everything fine or whatever, everything, you know, going good. And I explained to him what's happening in that dream. And that's when he explained to me he got a condition where he's not able to walk right now. Right now, he can't really walk. And he's, I guess he can't really speak words, you know, for his age. Now, I wasn't even sure about that. And his father was telling me, I guess that's confirmation, because he was asking me, how was he walking? I'm like, yeah, he was walking and talking fine. But presently right now, he's not doing any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And his father tell me that was like confirmation, because he's been praying for his son.
Mm-hmm.
And there's others out there that has been praying for him that's speaking over his life, saying that God's going to make him whole, you know, in due time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea,
mm-hmm,
that was, you know, people was praying for him, that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me, no, bit by bit, no, he's seeing some changes in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing things happen, you know. But no, like I said, that's not what prayer do. That's just power of prayer. Just, like I said, I was just stunned, you know, see a child in a dream asking me to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm about to contact you, say, hey, what the dream about here? I know God was showing me something, but then again, you know, that's the power of prayer. You know, that people are really standing in for that child to be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a normal No, be talking and be able to walk on his own. But that's, yes, that's the power of prayer, I tell you.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing. They close to you?
Oh, yeah. I know this from some relative of mine, yeah.
I mean, are they in the same location?
No, Louisiana.
Louisiana, okay.
Yeah.
That might be, you know, I'm going to just share this with you. In times past, when I've had dreams like that, however it happened in the dream, that's what the Lord wanted me to carry out, if that makes any sense. It may be that the Lord wants you to actually lay your hands on them to pray for them like you did in the dream. That makes any sense. But that's an encouraging dream there. And I'm sure it encouraged the father. But you know, I think it's something how, you know, it reminded me of when I was in a hospital and I was on my deathbed and this lady had come, you know, when I got back to church, the lady had come up to me after church was over and she said that the Lord had brought my face to her. She said, up until then, I didn't know who you were up until this morning. But she said, the Lord brought your face to me about a month ago and told me to pray for you. And, you know, it made me know that, you know, regardless of what God's will is in this earth, he's still looking for some believers to bring that will into this earth, if that makes sense. In other words, we still have to pray for God's will to be done in this earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to, I think the word of God in the book of Ezekiel talks about making up the hedge, you know, and, you know, we're standing in the gap. And that's something I believe that's very important, especially in a prayer life, that we stand in the gap for people, you know, and I think that's a very special thing in the kingdom of God, is to, when God gets our attention, that he want us to pray for somebody and things like that. It shows, I'll put it this way, it shows that we're on the right path with the Lord and that we're standing in a place with him where he'll hear our prayer, you know, and things like that. So that's a blessing. It's twofold. You know, when God asks somebody to pray for somebody else, it lets you know that you're in the right standing with God, you know, that you're on the right path with God. But it also lets you know, man, look at the love of God and how he cares so much about his people, where he'll enlist the prayers of others for a particular individual. And I think that's a, you know, it just shows the love of God that he has for his people, you know, that how he'll do that, how he'll allow us to be used by him to pray for people. You know, it's an amazing thing that, you know, I think about what the word says, that what God, the Lord said, that your father know that you have need of these things. You know, he talks about, you know, in our prayer life, he say, your father know that you have need of these things. But then he says, but when you pray, in other words, even though God knows you have need of certain things, it's still our responsibility to pray for those things. We can't just toss that off on God like, oh, well, you know, you God, you know, because to me, you know, it leads to lazy, lazy Christianity, you know, and brattiness for that matter. You know, when we think it's just going to all just drop out the sky the way it's supposed to and ain't, you know, ain't nobody going to be able to get to it and things like that. I'm telling you, Brother Harold, there have been times in my Christian walk where I've had a bad day as a believer. I've had a bad day as a believer. You know, people on the outside looking in wouldn't think I was a believer. You know, if you looked at those bad days that I've had, and every last bad day have always come down to one thing, me not praying and me not being in my prayer closet the way I'm supposed to be. You see, every last one of them. And I think about that, you know, just concerning what you were saying earlier, you know, how, you know, if we as believers slack up in our prayer life, we'll be done backslid somewhere, you know,
and be
worse. Ain't no use in us being fake about it. You know, that's what happens when we slack up in our prayer life. You know, we go backwards, and I mean fast backwards, you know, and to be honest with you, I thank the Lord for that, because that's the Lord's way of getting our attention to get back to him and get back to speaking with him and talking with him and communing with him. But we definitely need that time. I think about when you talk about prayer, I think about just having a relationship. If you're married, you know, you have a relationship with your wife or with your husband. How good of a relationship would you have if you didn't ever talk to each other? If you just went throughout the day just saying hello and goodbye, and that's it, you know, you wouldn't have a relationship. The relationship wouldn't last long if there was no communication or if there was no conversation. And so the same thing is true in our prayer life. If we don't pray to God and we don't have that kind of open communication, then it could ruin our relationship with Him. You know, it could cause us to be more distant than what we're supposed to be. You know, and so when I think about, and just thinking along these lines, when I think about prayer and the different ways to pray, you know, just like I said, sometimes when I'm talking to my wife, I might be sitting on the sofa. Sometimes I might be standing up. So, you know, I might be just speaking to her, however, you know. And so to me, that's how our prayer life could be. There's no one particular posture that God is looking for when we pray. All He's looking for is the posture of our hearts. Are we bowed down before Him in our hearts? And are we sincere when we're praying? You know, so I just wanted to mention that. I think about that the same way I think about other relationships. If you want a strong relationship, you have to be in communication with the person that you're in the relationship with.
Oh, yes. And at number 941-745-1490, 941-745-1490. And at this time, I want to tell you all in Derrida, Louisiana, on August 7th, Pastor Bolden will be in Derrida, Louisiana, on the corner of Elm Street and Vine for a tent service. The time hasn't been set yet, but I want to encourage everyone that can make it. I know it's early, but go on there, mark it on your calendars and log it in on your phone. Leesville, Polk, Maryville, Rose Pine, Pickering, all y'all on the Sugartown Highway, just come on that. I know y'all ain't go. I'm sure you go. This is something you don't want to miss. And I know it's something you're gonna. You'll definitely get something out of it. So that's August the 7th in Derrida, Louisiana, on the corner of Elm Street and Vine. I don't know. I know somebody bought that St. Paul building. I don't know if it's still up or not. But yeah, where the old St. Paul was is. Keep on going down, you'll run right into it. Corner of Elm Street and Vine. So I encourage you to attend. Hey, did we cover the declare and decree yet? We touched that?
No, we hadn't touched that yet.
Oh, okay. And also what the lady wanted to know was Is it important? Do we need to decree and declare in prayer? And she got a couple of definitions here of decree and declare. And one definition of decree says an order usually having the force of law. Declare, to make known, formally, officially, explicitly. And so she want to know, is it necessary to decree and declare while we're praying.
I see that about the decreeing and declaring movement. That's kind of a complicated question because it's not unbiblical to decree and declare a thing, but it really don't. Is really not in a prayer type of setting, if that makes any sense. One of the things, I just put it this way. One of the things I encourage people to do is just look back over your life and look at what people have declared over your life. Look at what you've declared over your own life before you gave your life to the Lord. You know, some of us had parents that told us we weren't going to amount to anything. And that's a decree that maybe we would have to speak against, if that makes any sense. In other words, we have to say something different. So in those manners, that's not necessarily during prayer time, if that makes sense, because in prayer time, you're making your supplications known to the Lord. But in just in our private time, concerning things that may have been spoken over us, that's when I encourage believers to declare and decree. So it would have to be something specific to the individual, not just something general, if that makes any sense. It would have to be something specific and something that the Lord have laid on your heart to do concerning your own particular, on your own specific life, not just the general stuff that a lot of people do and things like that, you know, but something specific to you. There's a devil and a maybe a curse that's assigned to your life. And so you have to know how God wants you to take care of that, you know, what words he may want you to speak. So that's one of the things that I think by not just use this as an example. I just think, okay, I'm going to use this as an example in the email towards the end. Says, but this decreeing and declaring movement is driving me insane. And so oftentimes we speak those things and just meaning one thing, but saying something else. So, and I'm just use this as an example. This decreeing and declaring movement is driving me insane. And so if you know, oftentimes we speak things like that, and sometimes the Lord bring those things to our attention, which means we have to declare something different than what we have spoken in the past, if that makes sense. You know, I would just read something today, and I see that stuff all the time because I'm so aware of the words that we speak. You know, like what I think we've talked about it before, the power of words and things like that, and how sometimes people say, "Oh, this kills me." You know, I hate cutting grass; it kills me. You know, saying certain things like that, we all may have grown up saying things just meaning one thing, but saying something else. And, well, you know, when we do that, sometimes the Lord will bring those things back to our remembrance. And sometimes we'll catch it right off. And the Lord said, no, you need to say the opposite. You know, and so then we right then. So that's what I do concerning decreeing and declaring. It's not some, you know, like a routine thing as much as it is if I catch something or if the Lord brings something to my remembrance that I've spoken in the past that goes against his will for me and might be hindering me, then I'm going to declare or decree the opposite of what I may have spoken or what somebody may have spoken over my life. And so that's what I have to say about that. You know, don't say something's running you crazy. Don't say these kids are getting on my nerves. And then later on in life, you're in a nursing home with bad nerves. Hmm. You know, we have to be very careful at what we say. You know, because, you know, the life and death is in the power of the tongue. Unfortunately, it's not just life, but death is in that too, you know. And so we have to be careful with the things we say and just using that as an example, you know. But that's as far as I go with the declaring and the decree. God, what have I spoken over my life? What have I said that is just the opposite of what your will is? So let me say something different, you know. God, what if somebody else spoken over my life that may have laid out this pattern that I'm in? So let me speak something different. But of course, we don't make a religion out of it, if that makes any sense. It's just something that the Lord brings to our attention, and we speak the opposite, and we keep it moving.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope that answered this lady's question and concern as it's pertains to the decree and declare. It's something else I want to ask you. Can you pray it in tongues at will? Because I've seen where, you know, someone will call a group of people to prayer, and they will say, let's all begin to pray in tongues because it's more power. So let's right now let's start praying in tongues. And when they start praying, I see about maybe 90, 80, 90% of them, they start praying in tongues right there on the spot. And then I seen another pastor say, in such and such time, we're gonna be praying in tongues for so many minutes. I just thought, but I don't want to sound ignorant or nothing, but I thought we were speaking in tongues. I thought that's something you really can't control. I thought, you know, the spirit hits you. I thought, you know, that's when you speak in tongues. But just, but if I'm hearing it right, it seems like you could just start speaking in tongues just out of nowhere. It's just, okay, y'all, at 9:30 we're gonna pray in tongues. So is that, I mean, is that normal or is that common? Is that normal? Is that even biblical? Just pray in tongue at us. I mean, on the spot.
Yeah, I think it's common, but I don't think it's biblical. I believe that I believe that that's something that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, and it's for a particular reason, I want to show this in the Word. It's in the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. It goes on to explain to us how we should carry ourselves, especially when it comes to speaking in to praying in tongues. Not only speaking in tongues, but praying in tongues. And I believe that there's a such thing as praying in tongues. So I want to make that clear. I know that there's a such thing as praying in tongues, but it's not something that we can do at will. You know, I believe we ought to be yielded vessels for whatever the Holy Spirit want to do through us. But we're not the boss of the Holy Spirit. We can't direct the Holy Spirit in what to do and when to do. We just have to yield to Him. And so in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians at the 14th verse, I'm going to start reading there. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." So that means that if we're praying in an unknown tongue, our spirit man is praying, but we don't understand what's being said. It says, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified." In other words, nobody's edified if you're in a church setting and everybody's praying in tongues. Nobody's edified because nobody understands what you're saying. See, so it goes on to say, verse 18, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church," now that's the key, that's the key there, verse 19. "Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Everybody see that now? Let me read that again. "Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." And so that's our instructions from the Apostle Paul, what counts more. In a church setting, it counts more that you pray with an understanding so that other people can be edified, that you speak in whatever your native language is. Because the idea is for other people to be edified. You know, and I know that there are times when people pray in tongues in church, they might speak in tongues in church and things like that. But Paul is letting us know it's more fruitful to everybody else and to us. If we're doing these things in our own language, so that others may understand.
Oh, yes. And yeah, I just glad you verified that. I was just something I'm wondering about. I, like I said, I used to see these shows, these programs. The one that's in charge said, let's begin to pray in tongues. They do it right on the spot. So I was always concerned about that. And I want y'all to tune in next week too. I was fortunate enough to going to have gospel artist Miss Evelyn Turrentine AG supposed to be calling in next Friday for an interview. And she's a nationally recording artist. And we go carry on as we're doing right now. We're going to just talk about various things with her. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. If you heard that song, God Did It, she's the author of that song. And so nothing happens, nothing changes. She'll be on air. She'll be calling in with me and Pastor Bolin, and we'll just be talking about various things in the music industry. So I encourage you all to tune in. But if not, there's always something going on. Even you just look at the news. My goodness, this lady, was the Supreme Court the one Biden nominated. Now she couldn't even answer a question. What's a woman? But God said so many people out there worried about black girl, magic girl power. And I'm trying to tell people, okay, how about do people just too worried about having the first, want to see the first this, the first that, worry about making history. But sit back and see what see what folks are made of, see what they stand for. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to be the first to do this and that, just trying to make history. Mm-hmm. And you got so much going on with Russia. Over there, they call him bully. So that's plenty to cover if the interview falls through. But hopefully she'll be calling in and joining us. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got anything you want to add on with this topic today about prayer and praying to clean or whatever else you want to add to the conversation here?
Yeah, I want to give an example of praying in tongues, because I think that's something that a lot of people get confused about. I've seen people go to church just as sincere as they want to be, and then they're commanded to start doing that, and sometimes people, to keep from standing out and being the only one not there praying in some unknown tongue, they just start coming up with stuff to say, and then after a while that just becomes a part of them, where they just learn to just open their mouth and just start, gibbering and things like that. And, again, it moves us away from being sincere with the Lord. Everybody don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, of praying in tongues and things like that. And so I think we need to just, if nothing else, let's be sincere. Let's try to be sincere with who God has made us to be, and not think that we're off somewhere because maybe we're not doing what everybody else is doing, one of the main things we can do for ourselves is just say, well, Lord, maybe why am I not speaking in tongues? But don't put that on yourself as if something's wrong with you because maybe you don't have, maybe God is not giving that to you. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, I'm going to start reading verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so when we're talking about praying in tongues, and even speaking in tongues, but in this instance, praying in tongues, I'm going to just use this as an example. One of my aunties, she's one of those people. She speaks in tongues. She prays in tongues. She does things like that. And one day, she was cleaning her house and she started praying in tongues. And she just had, she said she just had this strong unction and the Spirit of God came on her and she just started praying in tongues. But this was in her house. And so she just kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it, but she didn't know why. And at the same time, her mother, which was my grandmother, was calling her, just kept calling over and over again. And eventually, she got the phone. She stopped praying in tongues. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, my grandmother came to her house and had told her that her daughter had fell out of a truck. Her daughter at that time, I think, was maybe 2 years old, and she was sitting in somebody's lap, kind of leaning up against the door of the truck. And for whatever reason, she jumped out of the truck while the truck was going down the street and landed on her head and things like that. But that, and so when my grandmother told her that, then the Lord spoke to her and said, "This is what I had you praying about."
Hmm.
So it was something that was going to take place that my aunt didn't know about. But the Lord was praying through her, you know, and bypassing her mind and her understanding, you know, exactly what this scripture says. The Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Holy Spirit understood what was about to take place. And so there had to be some prayer going forth. And I believe that, in all sincerity, that is the purpose of praying in tongues. We're praying about things that we don't know is going to take place. But again, according to the word, there's a place for that. And it's not something that we can command ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to be, the Spirit of God is the one that does that through us.
Oh, yeah. And then at this time, you want to have maybe a first time listener. We want to give them the website, email address, whatever, how they may be able to contact the ministry and see more videos of the ministry.
All right. Our website is www.onetruth.tv. That's www.TRUTH.TV. And on there, I think one of the first things you're going to see is our YouTube channel and the videos that we have there. And you can go to our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/HawkBolden. That's HawkBolden. There you'll see over 1,000 videos that the Lord have preached through this ministry. So, and also comment, leave us a comment, let us know that you're watching and that you're being blessed by these videos and also the Ross Field as well.
That's right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Now, we expect to have Miss Evelyn Turrentine AG calling in next Friday for an interview. So I hope you don't let somebody know. I really believe it's just, she's real about what she's doing. Like we mentioned on the show before, you know, you got some people out there that's clowning around, showboating or whatever. But she, like, to me, she's one of the real ones out there who's really sincere about what she's doing. So if nothing happens, she will be joining us next Friday. Be for the whole hour for the interview. So I'm looking forward to it. And don't forget, Darrell, Louisiana, meet Pastor Bolden August 7th on the corner of Elm Street and Vine for a tent service. The time will be announced later on. We're asking all people in surrounding areas. That's on the east side of the river. Maryville, Leesville, Pickering, Rose Pine, down there, South Beauregard, East Beauregard, down there, Bunnicks Lake, Leesville, Popo. Y'all come on down to the corner of Elm Street and Vine in Darrell, Louisiana. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Raw Spirit. We just hope something that was said was, you know, encouraging to you. Maybe I hope you got something out of it. And, you know, feel free to email the show at info@therawspirit.com. That's info@therawspirit.com. Be sure to visit Pastor Bolden's website too. And until next time, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And God bless you the same. We will be back on next Friday. God bless all of you. I'm trying to